Hello, my friend. This is Clyde. Power, wonder-working power. We're reading from Ephesians 3, verses 14 through to 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Are you a child of God? It's a simple yes or no question. Well, maybe you might have another question for me before you give an answer to my question. We can accept that. So here's a question from you. How does someone become a child of God? The answer to your question is that you must be saved. Now, I know that you want more than that, but let me say it again. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you be justified, and it is that you profess your For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That was Romans chapter 10, verses 9, 10, and 13. If you are saved, then you're a child of God. To become a child of God, you have to be saved. Let us just think about that for a moment. God created this means by which humans who are all born outside of the family of God, including the Jews, that we will be saved. In other words, none of us was in relationship with God when we were born. And the only way that someone can get into that relationship with God, they have to be saved. That relationship means God becomes your father and you become God. Ah, there is, however, something more fun that I want us to look at. Power. There is something about God and power that is hard to wrap our minds around. Let us learn a little. Beginning of his prayer. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he might strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Paul is. Listen to this portion of his prayer. He said that when he prays for the people who will hear this letter, he asks God a big favor. The God he is talking about in his prayer is the God whom has unlimited resources, and this is not limited to money. It includes everything. God has everything, and he asks this God who owns everything to strengthen you, the child of God, with power. How would this happen? He says that the power will come through the Holy Spirit and it will be distributed not into your body so you can lift heavy weights, but this power will be distributed in the real you, your soul, the part of you which is saved. In other words, Paul is praying that God will strengthen you through the Holy Spirit so that you will experience this divine, exciting power of God. Can you begin to imagine why you need that power? Let us go on. Here is the next portion of Paul's prayer. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. He is praying that you and I and every child of God will have power. Power again? To fully understand the love of Christ, that you might maximize the fullness of God. Paul is not playing around. I remember in another section of the Bible, he said that God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Romans 5 and verse 6. This is some heavy stuff. I mean, the Holy Spirit has been given to every child of God, and from the outset of this relationship with God, the Holy Spirit introduced us to this vast, borderless love of God. But hear this, because the love is so much, he prays that as you grow in Christ, you will get a deeper and better understanding of this love. This is some pretty cool stuff, Mr. Paul. Now, let us get back to the prayer, because I know you have other things to do, and I don't want to take up all your time. So this is how Paul ends his prayer. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Here we go again. Paul talks about power. He is closing his prayer by saying he wants every child of God to give glory to God forever and ever. If he had said those few words, the prayer would be fine. But Paul could not pass up the opportunity one more time for us to understand something about God's power. Now to him who? Now to him who is so powerful that he can do some things that your little 21st century mind could not even begin to conceive. To this great God of whom nothing is impossible. This God who has released his power, powerful power in us when we became children of God. It is to this great, mighty, awesome, all-powerful God that we give glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm out of breath. No, I'm blown away. No, I need to sit and digest all of this talk about power. This is power, power, wonder-working power. And Paul mentions it in his prayer that he wants us to be strengthened by that power. He is saying that when we utilize that power, we are better able to understand God's love for us. He is saying that that power is working with inside of us. Let me stop there. I don't know what else to say, but to suggest that you ask God to help you to experience more and more and more of this amazing power in your life. If this has done anything for you, will you please contact me at friendofclyde@gmail.com.